Hey, it's Dave Wooding here for Integrate Pro, and I've got an expert with me today, one of my friends from Australia, Clint Marr, kind of rhymes with car. Clint, say hello.
Hey, Dave, how are you, mate?
I'm good. This is the first episode, so congratulations, you're breaking new ground here.
Thank you for having me.
Yeah, you bet.
I've been looking forward to this for a while.
I know. Like I said, I was looking around, and for whatever reason, I dropped onto your site and noticed you do interviews. And I'm like, well, what the heck? I know you. Let's have a chance to get caught up on what's going on in your life. And actually, the first thing I'd like to talk about is biking. You and I seem to have a connection through Strava, which is, to me, is kind of my Facebook of the online world. I'd much prefer to be on Strava than Facebook. You know, my observation is you have no hills where you ride. Is that true?
Yeah, it's pancake flat. I've got to ride about 20 kilometers, or what's that in your language? About 12 miles, 40
yeah,
miles?
12 miles.
Yeah, to find our nearest hill, and that's only 200 meters high, and that's like the biggest hill for the next 3,000 kilometers.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
So are you out riding every day now, Clint?
I'm riding about 4 days a week. Yeah. As you remind me when I'm riding, you ask me why I'm not riding.
Where's your priorities?
On the bike.
Right. Yeah, I know. I know for me, it's this time of year I'm actually training for a race, so I make a point usually to get out first thing in the morning. Just that routine forces me to get out there, get it done. And I know for me, it helps for the focus. Definitely feel energetic the rest of the day, even though I've spent a good amount of energy right off the bat in the day. So
it's the hardest thing you'll probably do all day is your bike riding.
Yeah, physically, that's true.
Physically, yeah.
But I'll tell you what, at the end of the day, like 3 or 4 o'clock here, the sun's hitting the window where I'm at, and it gets kind of hot, and even though I've got air conditioning, I feel like I'm kind of nodding off sometimes, so that gets a little tiring, but you're right, the bike ride is definitely the big one.
Yeah, look, when it comes to heat, I don't think you can really say much about heat that I don't know about. Like, you think, 32 degrees? What's that in your language, about 85?
Yeah, but you know, we get up to like, I think we've gotten up to like 45 degrees Celsius. So that's like 114 Fahrenheit. But it's what we call a dry heat, so it's it's not so bad. But it does wear on you, that's for sure. So how much riding do you do, Clint?
I try to do 250 kilometers per week, although this year that hasn't been happening. It's about 180 kilometers a week. Huh.
So what is it? Are you have more of a family, more work? What's going on there?
More family and more work, and taking my work a little bit more seriously this year. Last year was a big transition period for me where I sold one of my businesses off, or my main business. And I spent the rest of last year getting healthy and being a bit selfish and looking after my health, getting it back, because I got quite overweight.
Yeah.
Considerably overweight. So, I spent a good 8 months losing a lot of fat and being healthy and, getting back to health again, which it had been a long time. It'd been about 10 years since I'd been healthy. So it's been a great transition the last year.
Yeah. So have you found yourself able to stay healthy even though you've backed off and you're heavy? Good.
Yeah. I'm losing more weight now even from doing less exercise because my eating habits have changed as well.
Right.
And I'm getting a lot more work done and a lot more focused work, which is a byproduct of being healthy, I'm finding.
Yeah.
How about you? Because you've really ramped up the exercise lately.
Yeah.
And instead of doing less work hours.
Yeah. This time of year, and this will be the third year in a row I'm doing a 100-mile, 160-kilometer mountain bike race in July. And I follow like a 12-week schedule, 3 weeks on, kind of 1 week off, and it just builds in intensity. But that definitely gets me in shape. But I'll be honest, towards the end of the year, I kind of slough off, get a little casual, gain some weight, and just not on top of things as I am this time of year. That having that routine that I follow works for me. You know, I kind of have to have someone pointing a gun at me to do something. But I'll tell you what, I'm willing to work hard to be lazy. You know, there's a lot of things I'll do so that I can make my life easy, but it's amazing how much I will put into that kind of effort. And so with for instance, writing, I enjoy it, love it, but I also need, you know, a little motivation, something written down to tell me what to do. So yeah, that definitely helps.
Yeah, sure. Yeah, and look, you guys have this thing that we don't have over here called snow. yeah, true. And I've seen some of your photos over the years. And yeah, it's like I've only seen snow once in my life. Oh, and funny. That's kind of hard for people like you to believe.
Right.
But it's true. Yeah, and I had to travel a long way to go and see that snow. So, yeah, we don't get that over here. And you do, and it gets really, really cold, and I wouldn't be going outdoors either. But you do. You do. And yeah. Hats off to you. That's amazing.
Yeah, I ride with a bunch of guys on Wednesday night. We show up. We never know where we're going. What this group has found out is if everyone knows where we're going, we just start arguing about where to go. So nothing gets done. So we got one guy. He's kind of the dictator and doesn't tell us where we're going. You just follow him. If you get ahead, you might get lost. Same thing in the wintertime. We go out for rides. We got the lights, all the clothing you can have. You totally freeze your ass off, of course. Don't ride nearly as far, but it's fun. Right now, it's like 8 o'clock at night where I'm at. Sun's going to stay out to almost 10 p.m. around here. In the wintertime, it'll be 5 o'clock. It'll be dark around then. We'll start riding at 5:30, maybe go for a couple hours. It'll be below freezing. There might be snow and ice. And it's definitely a hoot just getting out there like that.
Yeah, the hardest bit is getting out of bed, I guess.
Yeah, yeah. But it's all good fun. It's pretty cool.
Cool.
So, hey, Clint, tell me about what you're doing for work. You know, it sounds like there was a transition last year. You went from owning a business, an agency with somebody else. Is that true?
Yep, that's true. So for the last nearly seven years, I had a digital marketing agency doing similar to what you do, building a lot of WordPress websites, which you do a lot of now through one of your new businesses.
Yep, that's
right. A lot of SEO, a lot of conversion rate optimization, a lot of Google AdWords, Bing AdWords, Facebook ads, all that sort of stuff, but for local business clients.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, did that for quite a few years. And then last year I was in because it was a company and that partnership ended quite badly.
Oh, okay.
And anyway...
Is there a lesson learned from what you went through that you can share?
Yeah, loads and loads of lessons have been learned.
Okay.
It was a good relationship for 6 years, and it really only got bad in the last several months of the relationship.
So what did it – I don't really care to know the details. I'm just wondering, is there something you could have done in hindsight that would have helped this relationship both, I'm guessing, professionally and – personally continue on? Is there something in hindsight that you could say, oh yeah, I wish I would have done this?
The one thing that I wish I had done from the start was to go it alone and not form a partnership. And that's nothing against the 6 good years we had together.
Right.
But the reason I didn't go out on my own at the very start was because I lacked a lot of confidence.
Yeah.
And I didn't want to speak to anybody. I wanted to be the guy behind the computer screen who just got on with the technical work. This may sound familiar to you.
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah, I just liked to be that guy. I was scared to get out there and talk to people. However, now that's completely changed.
Yeah.
And I am out there speaking to people. And I don't know why I was so scared all these years. Because you're helping people when you're talking to them. And if you can offer somebody some advice that is based on your past experience, that has worked for other clients, that has worked for you, then surely that is helping somebody. And why shouldn't you speak up to be able to help somebody if they've asked you for help, that is?
Yeah, yeah, excellent. I know what you're talking about. I'm also not a fan of being out there, but I do understand and I do get out there because it does make a difference. And it's surprising. I think, you know, what I've found is I do know stuff and I do know valuable things that other people don't, and they're willing to pay for it, ask for it. I might think something's trivial, but it can have a big benefit on somebody else's business or their life that I can share. So I make an effort to get out there too, getting on the phone, either via Skype or actually a phone call, or even, you know, meeting people in person is great, because then you can really find out what it is that they need, want, what makes them tick. So I work at home. You know, we have a bedroom upstairs I use for my office. I almost always have the door shut because my wife insists that I talk so loud. But she can tell me when I'm really excited and totally into it, because the volume goes up and I hear about it later in the day. You know, and I say, oh yeah, I remember I was talking about this subject, you know, very passionate about whatever it is.
Yeah.
So yeah, that's great. It definitely makes a difference getting out, you know, ideally talking to people one-on-one. Is that what you're doing now? Do you actually meet people in person, or is it over the phone, or a combination of that?
It's all combination. So last year when I exited the business, I was left without any income for my young family. So I had to get out there, hit the streets, talk to people one-on-one just to get some projects in the door and some money coming in. And that was a fantastic experience. However, it is limited when you're out there talking to people one-on-one.
Right.
And so what I've been trying to achieve since last year, and I'm now in a further transition, is to go from that one-to-one to one-to-many concept, which is quite popular.
Sure.
Or, you know, people will call it leverage.
Yep.
And doing a podcast like this, talking to you today, that's another example of how I can talk to many people or try and help many people instead of going for a coffee down at the coffee shop with just one person.
Right.
And helping one person, you know, if I can.
Yeah. So what is it that you're doing now? So you left the agency business, you're, let's call it, stranded for a little bit, but where are you now? What are you offering?
So what I'm doing now, I'm doing a lot of teaching and coaching people, and particularly in the area of what I know that I was good at, which is in agency land. Mm-hmm. So helping others who do have their own agency or who are out there selling websites to, you know, like yourself, but you don't need my help. And yeah, just teaching people that, teaching them how to get more leads, more sales, how to grow their business, how to get more offshore resources. To build a profitable business. To me, one thing I learned over the years was, while we generated fairly good figures, around the $1 million a year mark in the agency, the profit, which, you know, to some people it's a lot, to some people it's nothing. To me, as we started the business with $0, it was not a bad achievement. What I have to tell you about is that profitability of that business was very low. And I was in a situation where I was unable to change that. And now that I've exited that business and started my own micro agency last year, it became a lot more profitable very quickly.
Is that because you knew all the things to skip, all the potholes to skip over? Why have you gone from a kind of a low margin, high volume, if you will, dollar amount anyways, to something that's much more profitable in such a short time? What's the secret, Clint? Come on.
The secret was that we were ill-prepared and we were overspending on staff, both locally and offshore. We had higher overheads than we needed to. And when there is three business partners together, there is a lot of ego. And I'll put my hand up, and you know, I'm just as much to blame here. When there's ego, then you want to spend money on areas where maybe money shouldn't be spent.
Right.
And so, then once you can strip away all that, you can make yourself a lot more profitable. And to me, a lot of that was going back to home to work again. What I was doing this morning before we jumped on the call, I was writing an article on how it is to be working from home, the things that nobody tells you about, and the things that you probably want to know before you make that transition to work from home. So I used to work from home. Then I went back into the office environment when our agency got to a certain size, And then my life started to get unhappy at that point.
Mm. So now you've made a change back to being at home more then.
Yeah, but there's one big difference this time. I've got a detached office from the house.
I think I've seen that on Facebook, haven't I?
Yeah, and it's an old office. Yeah. It would be over 90 years old.
Oh, my gosh.
It's like 10, 15 yards from the house. And the office, like, we've been here 5 years now, and the office sat here full of junk, full of absolute every bit of crap, spiderweb, rat dropping, you name it. It was completely one of those things that you might see on a movie. So I had to strip it out. I had it carpeted, painted, put a ceiling, put in lights, air conditioning, all run down here. It's just the most amazing workspace. And I can see the kids from the house, but I can't hear them.
While you might love them, it definitely helps to be separate. Is that true? I mean, I find having the door shut and sometimes the window shut and sometimes earphones on just to kind of tune out all the other stuff makes a big, big difference if I want to focus on something.
Well, I'll tell you what, Dave. When our daughter was born just over 3 years ago, mm-hmm. When she got home from the hospital, I lasted 2 weeks before I had to go out and seek a commercial office. It was that much of a it had that much of an impact on my work life, and nothing prepared me. There was nothing that anybody could have told me that could have prepared me for how that was going to affect me.
Yeah, I'm kind of on the opposite spectrum from you, Clint. Older than you, the kids are out of the house for the most part. So they don't even care where I'm at. So I don't see them. I don't hear them. The only thing I get interrupted by is one of our two dogs will come to the door and stick his nose and keep nudging until I open it up. And he'll just come in and lay down and sleep. He just wants to know where I'm at. But he doesn't talk to me. He just sits there and occasionally gets pet. So, yeah, the office space is definitely kind of an important one. I actually ended up bought a nice new chair for myself recently.
Yeah.
Definitely makes all the difference. I never got into the stand-up desk thing. I think I told you we moved to a different state, lived for somewhere for a couple months this winter.
You went down to New Mexico, wasn't it?
Yeah, you got it. That's right.
Yeah, Albuquerque, was it?
We were up in Taos, New Mexico, northern New Mexico near Colorado.
Right.
And the house we were renting didn't have really a desk to use, so I used a cabinet. And I had to stand up the whole time. Man, that was tough. You know, your back has to get used to it, and then the floors were hard. For me, the productivity just wasn't there. So having a desk with a comfortable chair definitely makes a difference for me, that kind of environment. So,
Dave, I'm with you all the way there. I rarely speak out because so many people are such advocates of the stand-up desk that I just feel so outnumbered, so I just shut my mouth.
Hey, at least there's one other of us out there. Yeah. So, Clint, tell me, what's the name of your site, and what is it that people could find on your site if they go visit?
My site is onlineprofitauthority.com. It's a relatively new site. As I've still got a micro agency, I still sell a lot of websites. So I guess in some cases you and I do, mm-hmm. do some similar things there. However, what I'm trying to do is teach people how to go out and sell more websites, which is good for people like you who have mm-hmm. a wholesale website agency.
Right.
Actually.
Right.
Which I'd never thought of.
Yeah.
So people who are looking to make more sales per month and who want to have a higher cost per sale. Hang on, that doesn't make sense. We'll scrub that one.
Okay.
People who want to charge higher fees for their websites. So then they could come to somebody like you, but they could make a lot more margin if they knew what to say, how to say it, and present the right things to their client or their potential clients. And get that sale over somebody else who they might be competing against. So I help take people away from the bottom end of the market, find the better clients with higher price fees attached for them. So they make more margin, more sales per month.
All right. Thanks. So onlineprofitauthority.com
yes.
is your site, and that's where you're providing that information. I'm assuming people can opt in for something, or do you have a paid information product that tells people how to do this? Is that true?
Yeah, look, I've got a fast mega pack, I believe it's called at the moment. It's someone who wants to start their own micro WordPress agency, whereas they can get some sales contracts, some things like that, some quoting forms, a profit calculator. They can opt in, get that for free. That can help them on their way to going out and selling some WordPress websites. If they want further help with that, then there is a paid product there, a full turnkey business solution, I guess, if they want it. Although it's there if they want it. Otherwise, just come by, check out the content. There's lots of good content. Constantly putting good, great content up there so people can go out and get more sales, more leads, and become more profitable working from home. And hopefully people can have the fortuitousness. That's not the right word.
Yeah.
What's that word I'm looking for?
The good they fortune.
Can be as fortunate as I am to be able to work from home, have a great lifestyle, and make a good dollar doing it as well.
All right, cool. Well, Clint, thank you very much. I hope to see you on Strava soon again with a new ride. And I'll give you.
You're putting me to shame at the moment.
Oh,
every time I do a long ride, you go out and do like two miles longer.
Yeah, I check to see how far you've gone, how much elevation, and I just make sure the next ride has that much or more.
Oh, your elevation is 10 times.
I know it is.
I think you did 2,000 meters elevation the other day, and I'm going, I'd have to ride up our local hill 48 times to do that.
Yeah, that was a big training ride, that's for sure. Yeah.
Yeah. Looked like a lot of fun, though.
That is. Cool. So I'm going to just stop the record here.
Okay, mate.